Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 585. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. What is up, good sir?
Doing pretty good, better than others, as I found out before the show started. So
yeah, and that one is
I wish I would have thought of this.
That one's gonna stay behind the paywall. That might be an OPA special. That topic.
That is a fuck you in the ass prison, by the way. That is, that's not good. So
that is the preview. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how I can say this. It doesn't affect me whatsoever, but it tickles me to no end. I don't know why. I'm like giddy, like kind of giggly about it now. I don't know why.
Well, yeah, that's like one of those. Oh my gosh! Like that's my 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon kind of situation, I guess. Like, because I don't know anyone like really famous, so I'm gonna say that someone being arrested and being on every news service in Ohio, I guess that qualifies. So it's kind of exciting. It doesn't affect me either at all. My life is unchanged by this news, other than, you know, wow. That family has not had a good last couple of months. It has not been good for anyone, I don't think, out there. This one has been particularly not fun. So, speaking of not fun, wrestling has not been terribly fun.
Oh, god damn, dude. I don't like complaining all the time, but... Alright, I was on vacation last week, so I didn't see any wrestling. And I didn't even care. It's on the DVR. I didn't even care to go back and watch it.
I
didn't watch NXT, which I kind of regret, but...
Well, that's kind of funny. That's the one thing from last week I still have not watched. We had my nephew this past weekend. We picked him up on Thursday and had him through until yesterday. So I just he was kind of interested in the wrestling. I got him a little bit. He kind of liked SmackDown some, and he was definitely interested in the swamp fight. He thought it was pretty weird because he didn't understand what was going on because it wasn't really a wrestling match.
That's true. Yeah, that's very fair. I didn't see that, so I've gone back to watch that.
That did. I was kind of in and out of because I watched the first couple of matches, and then I think him and I played some Nerf gun battles. So I missed kind of the middle part, and then we came back up in time to see the main event there. So I didn't see all of it myself, and I don't really feel the need to go back and watch it either, because not a lot of people really had positive reviews on that card. So that did not really make me want to go back and watch it.
I do want to see it, but I was so turned off by that show after the Sasha Asuka stuff. I literally just reached over, shut the Xbox off, and then turned on like Mexico Life or something. I'd had it, and it's not even a case of like the good old days or any of this stuff. They're insulting, and then Monday night didn't do anything to help that. So I'm like, one thing I realized is there's no authority figure anymore. Notice that?
Other than Stephanie McMahon popping up, that was one thing where I'm like, okay, and I don't know if it was a Vince McMahon thing or not. Like, if they can do authority figure that way, which is pop up on the screen, say something every now and again, settle a feud so that it's a little more logical, I would really welcome that convention. Like, Because it did make a lot of sense for Stephanie to go, okay, you guys are being stupid. Because it was driving me even more bananas that Samoa Joe was helping to further that storyline. I'm like, come on, man. This is just insulting. Because he was doing it both for Sasha and Bayley and for MVP. It's like, we know that they didn't legitimately win their titles. Like, there isn't any getting around this. The whole, they've always said possession is 9/10 of the law in wrestling, but it would make way more sense if, you know, MVP at least won a non-title match at some point against Apollo Crews.
Oh.
Something like in Bayley, you know, in the Sasha situation really wasn't any better. Like, everyone could tell that she did not have a legitimate claim to the championship. So why are we selling this narrative at all? Like, if they had at least gotten a visual pinfall, if Sasha had gotten a visual pinfall, or if she hadn't tapped out already prior to that, you know.
Which the camera missed, by the way.
Which
we can get into later.
Oh, I didn't notice. I did not actually see that match. That I believe I saw the intros for that match, and then I skipped out on the match itself. So I only saw the replays that they showed on Raw, in which the tap out was shown.
Didn't do it justice. Okay, see, they did not show it. It was Tom Phillips going, Sasha Banks is tapping out. Because it was probably one of the 475th camera cut during the match that, you know, you can't just show what's in the ring. You have to show everything else around it. And if, is Bayley smart?
Yeah,
that match was good until the end, and it was just a weird quincing at the end. Sasha went on the ropes, Asuka fell down, and then Sasha, I'm trying to remember this right, she jumped down or fell down, and her knee tweaked. And as much as I praised her, I don't know if that was real or not.
Oh, okay.
And then she started taking her knee pad off and all this, but nothing's going on. Bayley wasn't getting in the ring. Kairi Sane wasn't doing anything. They're just around.
Oh.
And then she starts telling the referee, no, don't, we're ending this match. And then she gets up, and she tries doing something, but she kind of laid there for a while. And then she eventually pops back up. So I don't know if she just tweaked it and needed time or whatever it was.
Right.
But I told Elise, I'm like, I think she may have hurt herself, which would just suck. And until the end, and then I was like, well, this is kind of a bad thing to say, but I would have rather she hurt herself than have to go through that shit end of a match. But alright, so back up to the Apollo Crews MVP thing.
Yeah,
that made sense to me.
Okay,
because remember, if a champion, most of the time if a champion can go, it's a forfeit, so the guy who's facing wins the title. And then what usually happens is another wrestler gets presented and have a match. And then either, you know, win or loss, we get a new champion either way. So that's what I kept waiting for. I was waiting for Lashley to turn on and be like, all right, I'll fight you for it then.
Okay.
And instead it was just, I'm the champ. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I guess my... Yeah,
that's how it usually goes.
Yeah, I could have seen that is a direction to go. It probably would be better than what they did. But I guess I was thinking, that's killing me. They have expressly pointed out, and they mostly being Tom Phillips, pointed out that that Apollo Crews wasn't medically cleared. And, like, the situation that you're kind of going with, usually they don't say anything about being, medically held back. Normally, they just kind of let things play out. I guess. So that's why that one was leaving a bad taste in my mouth, too. Like, neither of the situations, I think, were presented very well.
Yeah. Well, all right. We haven't even gotten to the Sasha thing yet, but no. I just wanted to cover it. Because that's really the only interesting part of the MVP stuff until Monday.
Oh, but, right.
You know, I was just like, okay. And I'm trying to remember. Did you pull up the card for that? I can't remember how this was paced. But wasn't it MVP, then Seth, then Sasha?
Oh, for the paper, for the pay-per-view?
Mm-hmm.
I believe so. Because I did...
That would explain a lot in my growing anger watching this thing. Or my exasperation. Not even anger until the end of the Sasha thing.
But,
no. It just that started it, and I'm like, okay, that was just weird. And then you have the Seth thing, which we can cover. Just what
the oh fuck? Yeah, it was the tag team Bayley versus Nikki Cross, Seth versus Rey, and then yeah, because I skipped out on Asuka, Sasha, and Drew versus Dolph. I was in no way concerned about missing Drew versus Dolph, so, you know.
Well, okay, so the Sasha and Oscar going, it's really good. Of course it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's back and forth, and then, you know, one takes control for a little bit, then one takes control. And then it really was just back and forth. And there were some, like, I don't know if there was communication issues, whatever. You could just tell something was wrong. It was fine. And then we clearly as fans hold Kairi Sane in a much higher regard than WWE does. I don't care if it's Vince, whoever. I'm using the blanket WWE in this case. And going forward, that's what that means.
Yeah.
So she gets hit with a Bayley to belly on the out, and she's dead. Dead. You don't see her the rest of the time when all this stuff's going on. And I'm like, that's all it took? Like, wait a second, you think she'd, like, stir or something? Because that's the whole thing with her. She's tough as hell.
Right.
Well, I mean, but the Bayley to belly couldn't put away Nikki Cross in the middle of a match where Kairi Sane takes one. Yes, it's on the outside, but when has that ever mattered?
Oh, right.
She disappears, and then it's just chaos. Go ahead. I'm
going to
cut you off.
Hey, well, no, like you said, she could have even just been stirring. Like, if she's at least... trying to get in the ring is something's happening, it's okay. You know, you can kind of get a pass for that. But if she was just out of it, that's a bad look. Although it was kind of funny. You talked about that and then, well, and maybe it's just going to be her send-off, but then she gets the win on Raw the next day.
Don't get ahead of yourself. We're done with this.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry.
So we get all this chaos going on. Asuka pulls out the mist, blows in the referee's eyes. Okay. And then he goes down. Bayley jumps in the ring, pulls his shirt off, which I think everybody thought she was trying to clean the guy's eyes out because Sasha was in control.
Oh,
like trying
okay.
to help him out, something like that. Instead, she strips it off of him, which is sexual assault, by the way. And then puts it on and counts to three. And I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. Another referee will run down. Remember those old days
where
another referee used to come down other than after a 20-minute beatdown of somebody?
Yeah.
And then they go through all this bullshit and they're running off. And the worst part about it is Samoa Joe's being a dick, which is fine. That's what he's supposed to do.
Oh, right.
And he's like, well... He goes, and Joe, you can just tell Joe's like, I guess this is going to stand. Yeah, Sasha's the new champion. And Byron's going, Byron turns into Corey Graves Byron. Oh, come on, Joe, you know that's not right. This can't be right, can it? And Tom Phillips like, what a confusing situation. Where any announcer worth a shit goes, yeah, she's not the champion. What is this? Like, can we get somebody out here already?
Yeah.
You know, call for something.
And that's the one where I never blame the announcers because I'm like, there's no way that that's their instinct to call the match that way. Or to call the ending that way. Like, it would be so great if whiny Byron could stop being whiny and at least just be counterpoint Byron. For God's sakes, I don't know what it is with that guy. Because he's right.
I mean, he's improved tenfold. But then all of a sudden he just reversed this shit, and it was just like I'd had it. And we'd skipped the other one so far with Seth and Ray. I'd had it. I'm like, I took a week off. And, I mean, I did take a week off from NXT and a bigger degree at AEW. And just went, I'm an adult. Like, if this was a real TV show, if you would have told me, hey, check this TV show out, this is really good, and I would have saw that, I would have texted you all fucking night to make sure you couldn't have slept. I would have been so angry at you for telling me to watch this dumb shit.
There's a good chance that I'd tell you to watch dumb shit, but I would warn you in advance that it was indeed dumb shit.
Yeah. No, check it out, man. It's Extreme Rules. It's going to be really good. Trust me. There's a lot of good matches. Yeah, there's actually pretty good... What? Like, I'm trying to, like, any sort of movie you saw that had, like, a satisfying ending. So, like, all right, so at the end of Return of the Jedi, I always go to Star Wars for some reason. So, standing around and, you know... Darth Vader gets set on fire. The Emperor blows up until you find out he just cloned himself or something. Who knows? And raped the grandmother of Rey, whatever. And then all of a sudden, Lando goes, no, I'm really Darth Vader. Pulls his fucking head and mask off. Chewie turns into the Emperor. And they just kill everybody. And they take Luke's lightsaber. But the Ewoks are on the side going, what's going on over here? And that's the end. You'd be like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. That example is ridiculous, I understand. But it's just stupid.
Oh, that would...
And that's when I immediately went and pressed the big white button on my Xbox controller and shut this shit off. And I have not gone back to watch Bray and Braun or Drew and Dolph, which apparently Drew and Dolph was very good. Which really shouldn't be a surprise, but yeah, it is a surprise. Because they always mess things up. They always mess things up.
Oh.
It's not the wrestler's fault. It's the agents, and it's the old guy in charge. Could be Bruce Pritchard, Vince McMahon, or I don't know. I guess Paul Heyman's not in charge anymore. But
right.
One of the old guys. They've got to do some dumb shit instead of just let this play out. I mean, I'm trying to figure out why they can't come up with ways of ending a match. Or ending a feud, or just coming up with an ending of something. Just let someone win or someone lose.
Oh.
If Sasha loses to Asuka by virtue of the mist, right? Sasha has a legitimate argument that she cheated. You know, I know it's the bad guy complaining, but there's still a legitimate argument.
The bad guy is allowed to complain, though.
True, yeah.
You know, it's the baby face that isn't allowed to complain. So, yeah, if you have the Mist help Asuka win the match, like, it's kind of a perfect setup for them to continue the feud. Like, instead of coming up with this rigged baloney.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. You're exactly right, yeah.
Like,
But also feel like, if you're Sasha, don't you look at Bayley and go, what are you doing?
Oh.
Like, I had her. I had her, and then you cost me the match. Like, that doesn't get addressed. Because if there's one thing that Bayley and Sasha are not, they're not original heels. They are arrogant, they're narcissistic, they're, presumptuous, whatever the word you want to look for.
Right.
But they're not, they're not delusional.
Oh.
So they know damn well it doesn't count.
Yeah.
So then what happens Monday? What happens Monday when you go, okay, Asuka will have the belt back, and we'll just go on? Stephanie McMahon shows up and goes, well, Sasha, you clearly didn't win. But Asuka, that means you didn't win either. Well, then that's a draw, and Asuka's still the champion. And it was never addressed. It was just Stephanie that's it. And then Sasha walks off with the belt. Asuka should have got her ass in there, beat the shit out of her. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, that was. Yeah, the actions of
Yeah.
Monday were pretty silly.
And it's like, the only reason I'm this worked up over it is Bayley and Sasha and Asuka really are the best things going in WWE. Bar none.
Oh, right.
They're gonna fuck that up too. And they're gonna make them unwatchable as well. And that's the big concern. It's like I like people on the shows. I like watching some. I like watching the matches. I don't like listening to. I got to back that up a little bit. I would enjoy watching the matches, but I don't like listening to the announcers. They're all trash. Sorry, Joe. Joe's not bad, but he just gets so paved over with all the other malarkey from the other people. That it's just
Oh.
like okay, and then like even Monday he was just being, I mean, delusional, but I think he was just doing that in character. Byron, come on, Joe, you know it's true. Shut up, Byron.
Yeah,
God damn.
that was the word. Like, it's always one of those things I feel, because someone mentioned about Samoa Joe becoming the next Corey Graves, and it just does seem like it's just always easier to tolerate the announcers on NXT because you can tell that Triple H lays off of them far more than what happens on the main roster.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
Absolutely. Man.
again, that's another reason why a lot of the times I'm like, man, if he just leave them alone, I'm sure that they do a great job. Like, there's nothing wrong with giving people notes here and there, but oh, and kind of to circle back to, like, I guess I liked Corey Graves at some point, but he just got to the point where it's just like you can tell that he got so produced. It's just like you've taken the edge that I liked about him off, and you can see that happening with Samoa Joe with the way that he was commentating the last both Extreme Rules and on Raw. Like, I'm just like, this is not headed in a good direction. Like, it's just headed into the just new guy in that spot direction, and I hate that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Elise was telling me, Joe just looks bored. Like, whenever they go to him, he's just sitting there. And I was like, well, that's kind of his character. He doesn't show a lot of emotion. So that's kind of why that's like that. But
Oh,
I
yeah.
think it was before I left. Was it Bayley and Asuka was on Raw? That was the main event? Or it was
Yes.
Asuka and somebody. But it was definitely Asuka. And they had, like a jiu-jitsu transition between the two women. And you saw Joe in the corner of the screen jump out of his seat. Like, did you see that? And you heard him getting excited about what was happening.
Oh.
Ever since then, he's been just straight and narrow. No emotion, nothing whatsoever. So I don't know if somebody said something to him or he just hasn't been interested in stuff. You know? That's quite possible too.
Yeah, I that's hard to say unless and I don't think he'd give you a direct answer. I would also say that there's probably a part of Joe that still wants to be wrestling. And I don't
Yeah,
know
right
if
now, I thought the same thing.
I don't. As much as he was good at it, yeah, does he still think that, he just kind of had run of bad luck with injuries? But honestly, it's one of those things that A, he's older, so it's not surprising. And B, the WWE has kind of, at points, just been done with people that have that many injuries. Like, they just never end
Yeah.
up getting a push. And I don't know if he recognizes that that's maybe the case. Like, I don't know how you prove your durability in the WWE at this point. Like, especially at Samoa Joe's age. Like,
Well, I think part of that though is where would he fit right now? I mean, look how different Raw is. I guess maybe go to SmackDown, him versus Riddle or something. But where does he fit right now with all the new people brought in and then, like, the different storylines? I guess Seth. Since it's clearly not going to be Aleister Black. But, you know, but also, I mean, so in that case, you know, at least he's got some time to permanently heal up. Because I think he actually came back. Was it he came back too quick and re-injured the same thumb or something like that?
I believe so.
I think that's what it was. So, you know, so this way he gets to sit around. He's around. Obviously you learn something else in the business. It's always a good thing. So I don't know. I don't have much of an issue with him commentating. And then also, who knows when his deal's up.
Oh.
He heals up, he can go somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know? Work a lighter schedule. So... No, I don't know, man. I was just thinking, like, I know in the past WWE's done, like, goofy shit. So you remember, I mean, the goofiest probably twin referees, right?
Oh.
But as a kid, you're like, wait, what? There's two of them? And it was even the announcers were supposed to go, his shoulder's up. Except Jesse Ventura, you know. He was like, no, it's final. Okay, yeah. Because he hates Hulk Hogan.
Oh, right.
But like any time there was like a big match or whatever, you had a finish. Now I know like we've gotten some like goofy stuff. Not goofier. This one was just idiocy. Just plain idiocy. But I was trying to think of another finish that was this bad. And maybe I'm still seeing red about it, so I'm just still not thinking clearly about it, but I can't think of another one in recent memory where the finish was this bad. With your main acts, by the way.
Oh, you're talking about the Sasha match?
Yeah.
Sasha Asuka match. Okay. Just because we'd not been talking about those two in particular for a little bit, I guess I wanted to be sure.
Well, apparently I wasn't done with it. Oh man, I was going to text you Sunday and be like, "Look at this bullshit!" But
yeah, I did not see that bullshit, so that kind of helped out. And it doesn't seem like I want to go back and watch that either. To be honest
absolutely
with you,
no reason. Yeah, absolutely. Go back and watch it. The match itself is really good till the end.
Oh,
you know,
so, yeah.
Well, yeah, but. I mean, now of course it was going to be. And maybe that's part of the problem. That was the one match I was really looking forward to. I mean, we finally get to see it.
And well,
they just said, nah.
Yeah, because that was the one Extreme Rules match that... Did they really have any... I don't think they had any real stipulations. It was just a Raw Women's Championship match, right? Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there is nothing to kind of hide. Like... Because almost every other match, like, you kind of knew that there was going to be some type of shenanigans in the Seth Rollins-Rey Mysterio match.
Yeah. Okay, look. That was stupid to begin with. You know? What are we doing? And then to find out today... That they actually did film a part where Ray's eye was, like, popping out. Like a fake eye. And Vince said, nah, we don't need to do that.
Oh, I want that footage. I want that footage for sure.
I mean, come on. What are we doing? And the thing is, everyone's mad at Seth. And the problem is, Seth is absolutely right. He didn't ask for this. Now, yes, he abused Rey Mysterio and, you know, killed his eye, whatever. But then Rey's the one that wanted this. Well, you know, don't want none, don't start none, sir. And, you know, Seth did what the match called for, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't understand, like, the narrative that, like, oh my god, how could you do that to him? What the fuck was gonna do it to me?
Well,
like, how do you think you win this match? Do you think I'm... Oh, so I only did that to win the match? That's the only way to win it.
Yeah, I mean, it was legitimately the only way to win the match. I mean, it just was always a stupid way to win the match. Like, and I mean, there's just no two ways around it. Like, I'm okay with getting more cinematic. It's kind of silly when you're going to have someone lose an eye when you know full well that they're going to need that eye. You know, like, they're going to be using that eye, and that you've either got to keep a shield on his eyeball and his mask, or Ray really was working at the end of his contract and he's out of Dodge.
Well, yeah, he was working with that one. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the blow-off until he signs another one, which is why last night they said that he was responding well to treatment because the optic nerve wasn't severed or something.
Oh, like, yeah. Right,
that's a legit thing that I've heard, at least. So, okay, but I don't understand what's going on. Like, I was watching that going, you know, when they were having the match and they weren't worried about, you know, putting something in somebody else's eye and all this stuff, I'm like, this could have been great. The two of them together finishing a feud, which, I mean, I guess after you try and puncture someone's eye, I mean, where do you really go from there, which I understand. But, I mean,
yeah, like, the only thing, I guess, that do you consider Hell in a Cell a step up? I mean, it's pretty fucked up to try and take out someone's eye. Like, I almost feel like that's more extreme than Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah, I mean, no, you're right. And I don't know. I don't really understand what the Seth Rollins character is doing, to be completely honest. He keeps talking about this for the greater good, and I'm like, what are you even talking about? I honestly don't know. He said it over and over again. I don't know what his mission is. But he's getting rid of Rey Mysterio. Okay, why?
Oh, yeah, he was going to take control of Monday Night Raw, but it never really, like, there's no moving forward in his story to get everyone on Raw to convert. Like, he has one convert. He doesn't even really have opposition that much.
I mean, the opposition was Rey, Aleister Black, and Humberto Carrillo, who's been relegated down to Superstars, I think.
Oh.
Not Superstars. Well, the other one. Where he just lost to a returning Riddick Moss. So you see how far Humberto's fallen.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand the character. None of that stuff. I just don't understand. Like, some direction would be nice with this, and we're just not going to get it. So, there you go. I mean, more poor storytelling.
Yeah. Well, like you said, Aleister got beat down on Monday, and then what? I'm trying to think of what happened. Did someone come down to finally save him? No, he just whooped him.
Yeah, the referees never. I think the referees came down. That was my reference to they come down after 10 minutes of beating someone down. It's like as much as I think AEW overuses like everyone running down to save somebody. Because that means they have way too many beatdowns. WWE doesn't even bother. I mean, I know, like, Aleister Black's shown up here and there. Rey Mysterio, or Umberto did here and there. And I know you had the Viking Raiders helping out the Street Profits. Okay. But that's it. Like, no one cares about anybody else. And It's a creative measure that they remember. Oh my God, we're supposed to be, they are friends here. And it's like, okay. And I know it's kind of nitpicky, but Jesus Christ, man.
Oh. But you also know that just coming up, and I know that they already started advertising SummerSlam, but Survivor Series is just around the corner. And they're going to make us pretend like these brands care about each other. But, you know, they care about each other so much that they can't save a guy from a beatdown. Like, even if it's just the babyface side of the locker room, like, you don't even need to empty the whole locker room.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a way to do it. Because, like, sometimes with AEW, I'm like, dear Lord, why do you have that many people in one spot? It's just like, just send out, you know, like, it's always kind of silly that 12 people can't hold on to one. Like, as much as I know that Brock Lesnar is a beast, like, I'm sorry, if 12 guys mostly his size are holding him back, he's going to be held back. Like, so just have less people come down. If you're trying to just cut down on the number of people being involved in the angle, instead of emptying the whole locker room, maybe do two baby faces, two heels. Like, you know, figure something out. It should not be as hard as they're making it.
Literally nothing is as hard as they make it. And I know this is like, I know how this sounds, but it's like, if you have a story that you're writing, you let the story go to the end that it, where it, like, as you're writing, all right, so I'm going this way with something. Well, as you're writing, you know, your story can change, your motivation may change. It's like, you let it flow. You go with where the story takes you. And here, they're like, all right, we're getting here. How are you going to do that? We're getting here. You can't just go, here's the beginning, here's the end. So in the middle, you're like, nah, don't worry about the middle of that stuff. And in this case, the middle is, Seth starts off doing this. All right, so the fans turned on him. Okay, cool. Then he becomes the Monday Night Messiah because, oh, okay, like, he's like, God, I'm rough. I get it, cool. Then all of a sudden, he has church music, and he's literally, like, doing Jesus stuff. And I'm going, all right. And then he gets a follower, and then he gets another one, that he gets kicked to the curb. They get another one, wherever Austin Theory is now. And then he's pulling people's eyes out, and I'm like, this story is being made up as it goes. There's no flow. There's no actual story here. It's like, Seth Rollins is a bad guy. He's still a bad guy. The end. Like, wait, what? Like, the end of this story should have been Rey Mysterio getting over on him, or Dominic somehow getting involved, or something. And I know we're in a different time with COVID, so they don't want to bring people in, I guess, so they don't have to, but goddamn. And I know not the good guy doesn't always win, I understand that, but a good guy doesn't lose his goddamn eye as well, so.
Yeah. That's some pretty soap opera level stuff there. Bringing people back from the dead is definitely a specialty on that brand. So I guess Rey Mysterio
I used to watch a show where they killed wrestlers off. They literally killed wrestlers off and brought them back from the dead. That made more sense than anything that's going on in WWE right now. And the matches were good, too. It's so disappointing, dude. You know how long we've loved stuff? And then it's just slowly disintegrated. And maybe it's because everything else that's going on in the world, and, like, you know, we want that escape from something, and our escape is just trash. You've got high-quality athletes, high-level wrestlers, competent wrestlers, because you see what people do when they leave. And then you go, why is this happening here? Well, you know, they put this. Shut the fuck up. I'm tired of the wrestlers saying that shit, too. Because I was listening to, which I suggest you do, it's a Talking Shop, you know, Gallows and Anderson's thing. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
And they talk about, like, their years, like, them signing with WWE and all this. And they give you a pretty good insight of, like, well, like, without bitching. They're like, all right. Instead of going, because like Carl Anderson says, no, they had Ryan Satine as the moderator, which is very weird. He's a dork.
Oh. And
so they're talking about like going. He goes, "Would you guys ever go to talk to Vince?" He's like, "A couple times." He's like, "He don't want to talk to us." He's like, "You know, why am I going to go into his office when it's very clear he doesn't want to talk to us?" Which is the exact opposite of all the guys. Notice the guys who are on top, and they're all the gimmicks that Vince is heavily invested in, are all the guys who always talk about, "You got to start that relationship with Vince." You ever heard like anybody? You ever heard of Christian? I guess is a bad example, but I guess Matt Cardona now, Zack Ryder.
Oh, right.
He could never get any time, and he was making money on the side. So it's like if Vince didn't care, he ain't gonna talk to you. So I'm tired of the wrestlers doing this bullshit. We just gotta go talk to the old man.
Oh.
Maybe that was the way it was in the old days. It is definitely not that way now. There's no way. From everything you hear, it's definitely not that way now.
Well, so, and you've got to have only so much time, too, in a day. Like, it's always one of those things with Vince that, you know, there's only 24 hours in a day. You know, like, everyone on your roster, when it's a couple of hundred people, like, there's no way you can meet with every single one of them every day to discuss their creative direction. You know what I mean? Like, and it obviously shows, too. Like, especially with Anderson saying something like that. Like, at some point you could tell that it was just... they couldn't... Gallows and Anderson couldn't even get traction the second go-round with AJ Styles, even though they got more screen time. I think they got another championship reign out of it, but that, considering that the tag team division has at least been good over the last 5 to 10 years, it was hard to believe that they didn't ever really get an opportunity in that time frame when they had the championships. Like, they were never featured like the Usos or New Day. And I'm not obviously saying that those guys didn't deserve it, but I'm just saying that Gallows and Anderson were never presented like either of those groups. Or even Cesaro and Sheamus probably got a better push and a better sustained push at the top than Gallows and Anderson even.
Oh, for sure. And that actually gets addressed on the whole talking shop as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I might have to listen to that. I just haven't done a terribly good job of listening to podcasts, honestly, recently. So,
The only reason I even knew about it was I get like on R Squared Circle, and they were talking about like some of the stuff they said, and how they're mad at Paul Heyman and all this stuff, and apparently AJ Styles got mad at Dave Meltzer, and I'm like, oh god, all the drama shit going on. But I mean, they talked about it on there, and there's a lot of interesting stuff. Like they were pretty much out the door, and then Triple H essentially talked them into staying. So yeah, it's an interesting list. It's about 2 hours long. You can skip a bunch of it though. They always do like their skit in the middle. I'm sorry, in the beginning. So you don't necessarily have to watch the whole thing.
Gotcha.
So, but they're entertaining as hell anyways, which you see them doing their stuff and you're like, ugh. So.
That is kind of the funny thing, because I did mean to bring this up at some point, but them being on Impact, it doesn't do anything for me.
No, but I think more for them, I didn't get to that part, but I guess they talk about it. But they also are working New Japan again. And Impact, how it sounds to me is, and this is without listening to it, so maybe I'm going to be wrong here. New Japan's the priority. Impact is the U.S. territory. But they also said Impact is paying more money than you'd think. So, you know, if that's the case, maybe they could, you know, maybe they can finally get some people back. Because looking at Slammiversary, I wasn't expecting Rusev or Miro, whatever, to be one of the guys. I wasn't expecting like an Aces and H reunion, any of that stuff. But Eric Young being the big surprise in the main event, like, that's all you got us? That's all you're giving us, huh?
Oh,
Motor City Machine Guns coming back.
I saw that Eric Young did pop up. I didn't realize it was in the main event.
Yes. Yeah. And having an Eric Young fan, I didn't really care, but the bald head and the, I don't have my camera on, but the slimmed down version of Eric Young is absolutely unappealing. And, it, you know, he's got that awful, rough voice now. Like, okay, and maybe it was just a one-off, whatever. I'm not going to disparage somebody for making money. But it's like, as a fan, you just go, okay, whatever.
Yeah. So, it's still just what, like, Deonna Purrazzo is probably the only one, but that they mentioned in that Slammiversary review that I'm like, I guess if I could just find the women's matches somewhere, maybe I could take the time out to watch those. But other than that, yeah, like, no one that popped back really excited me that much.
Well, the weird thing to me,
including
and
Gallows
maybe
and Anderson,
this has something to do with. Yeah, well, the weird thing to me, and it may have something to do with legalities, is like, why not have Anderson and Gallows show up on Slammiversary? This is your pay per view. Why not have EC3 on your pay per view? Like, unless there's some.
Oh, I thought Gallows and Anderson did show up there.
Oh, no. I don't remember them being on it. Unless I totally missed. I did not see it. I read.
Yeah, I thought I got an alert that they showed up on there. But again, I don't have anything pulled up. I'm trying to pull something up right now, but evidently my internet is running like sludge.
Yeah, you've been breaking up here and there. But it's been audible. You're still audible, but well, no, I thought.
Good thing I'm recording on my end.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot to turn mine on. So now I know that they showed up in like a hype video or something. But other than that, I don't think they were actually on the show. So I don't know. I mean, I may be wrong, but I don't think I am in this case. And if that's the case, like, why? Why are you saving EC3? Like, why are you saving all these guys for Access TV show?
I thought he showed up, too. Oh, my God.
Heath Miller was on the show.
So. Oh, yeah. I forgot about Heath Slater popping up.
Yep. Heath Miller. Yep. So, which is fine. And they've got a nice little storyline how he just showed up. He's not an actual wrestler there. And Rhino's like, wait, what? So they're building something there, which is good. I mean, you know. Let's see. Move defeated. Tom J. Kylie Ray when I got long. Blah, blah, blah. Anyways. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see where they showed up. Because they even had, like, the Motor City Machine Guns come out and talk to the North about how they're next and all this, so...
Yeah, well, Impact's website is already touting the return of EC3, so...
Yeah, I guess it's Wednesday.
It's at least out there now. So, and yeah, like, I'm not blaming them for getting paid, because if Impact's going to pay them, cool, but... again, it doesn't make me care about Impact anymore than I already did. You know, there's enough wrestling out there, and Well, that's the other thing that's not great, is that there's still a decent chunk of wrestling out there, and none of it's particularly palatable currently.
No, everything... I don't know, man. AEW's still running with their stuff, and they're trying to make the most of it, but it just seems stagnant. I mean... I don't know. Wrestling is a lie... Wrestling's produced anyways, but now it is either so overproduced in regards to, like, the people in the crowd, and then also, outside of your usual production, then now you got to produce the crowd as well. So you're still being told who to cheer for and who to boo. Unless you're the... Did you hear on Monday night, like, Seth Rollins said something? No. Drew McIntyre had to pick a stipulation for his match against Dolph Ziggler.
Uh-huh.
All right? Someone in the crowd yells "eye for an eye," and I'm like, "You trying to get fired? Stick to the script, dude. What are you doing?"
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'm like, all right, well,
I'm not sure that I heard that, but that is still hilarious.
Yeah. I know we gotta go soon, so I want to talk about a positive though, if we can, since it's been nothing but complaining, I guess.
Sure.
Why couldn't we had this? Well, I guess we did, but they didn't use him. Why couldn't we have had this MVP way back when he first came out? Do you understand what a superstar this guy would be? He is so good.
Yeah, like I still don't particularly want to see him in the ring. Because I think he's about five steps too slow, and he was already, like, two steps too slow when he was 10 years younger. But the mic work that he's doing, and just the fact that, for whatever weird reason, like, this is the first time in a long time I'm like, there's multiple mid-card feuds going on, and they all involve MVP one way or the other.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, if they have all five of those, or all six of those guys, get more TV time, I am good with it. Ricochet, and I guess those six guys are Ricochet, Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali, or Ali, whatever they're calling him now, Shelton Benjamin, and I mean, Bobby Lashley, even though he didn't win the championship, he still is being presented better than he has been up to this point in the WWE, so there's at least something to be said for that.
I would say this is the best he's ever been presented.
Yeah.
He's just a big dude that knows he can beat the hell out of you. And MVP, you know how MVP never says, like, he never says he can beat everybody. He never says he's the best because he's got Bobby Lashley standing next to him. It's like little subtle things like that. I mean, it was funny, when MVP came back, it was like, oh, okay, he's back. And now it's like, man, he is back. Like, I knew he was a good talker to begin with, but man, his words hold like some gravity to him. And I've just been totally enjoying it. And now they've got Shelton in the mix as well. And I was like, good time. You know, Shelton Benjamin, I think he's 40 years old at least.
Yeah, because I know that Chris said something about
he's 45.
Oh my god.
He's a year younger than me. Crazy, dude. MVP is 46. Look, and Bobby Lashley is 44. Look at the three of them side by side. You would think that, like, Shelton and Bobby are still in their 30s at least. MVP, yeah, he kind of looks his age, but
yeah. You
know, self-admitted, he had a rough start of things.
And it helps to, or hinders maybe in this case, when you grow out a beard, I'm just saying that you're giving, extra room for gray hair to creep in.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So I'm just going to say that his choice in, and hairstyles and beard styles might not help him in this case, as far as, you know, looking younger. Like, when you shave yourself bald like Bobby Lashley, there isn't anything to kind of tell you that he might be a little bit older, I guess, in that department.
It's almost the same his entire career.
I guess you could throw him in the it doesn't look like he's aged category. Like, I guess I can tell that Shelton Benjamin is older than he used to be, but Bobby Lashley, I think he's under that category. If you showed me first go around and this go around, I'm sure I wouldn't know one from the other.
Probably not. I wouldn't think so, no. But yeah, I've just been... Those are the segments I enjoy the most. And it's like, you know, when Cedric was saying, it's like, you know, you're just a snake, you're this or this. And it's like, he hasn't really shown that. Like, he hasn't steered Bobby Lashley wrong at all. It wasn't Bobby's fault that he lost the match when Lana came in and, you know, disrupted everything.
Oh, right.
So, you know, so it's like Cedric's words are kind of empty. And then, you know, anything that gets Ricochet in, that's good, even though, you know, results are different. But
yeah, I do think that...
I just really enjoy the work.
So. Yeah, he's been better. I feel like... Ricochet has been a little more natural since this feud started. Like, because he's gotten away from that, easy to say dorky, like, comic book character thing that he had going on. Like, it almost seemed like he was putting on a voice and being too, like, oh, I can overcome the odds. Let me go put on my spandex and cape kind of situation. And it feels a little more natural. Like, now, admittedly, he hasn't had a lot of mic time, but I do think it's felt a little bit better for him than it has in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. And then having, I was very happy to see his name is Mustafa Ali again. It's just better when people have full names. It's always better, and so that was very. I was very happy. I mean, the guys never bothered me, so it's like, all right, cool. Someone new to the mix. So I mean, I like the little triumvirate, and then when Apollo comes back as well. Who knows what could go on from there. So it's like, it's kind of cool they got that whole little middle right there going.
Yeah.
It's just the top is a mess. And then the tag team division, why the hell did the Street Profits win? I was totally lost on that. It was a non-title match. And then you already killed off Zelina's boys.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah, I was really confused. After talking them up and showing a couple of different instances of them getting along, I'm like, oh, okay, this is where they get the win. And then they lost. And I'm like, Like,
I was totally lost on that one.
Yeah, the mishandling of Zelina Vega and her crew, who could, again, like, I guess I'm not expecting them to be up on the top of the card, but if they could help solidify a middle of the card along with, you know, the six guys we were just talking, or seven guys we were just talking about, it would really help programming a lot.
Yeah.
And it would also...
Especially because how talented they all are.
Yeah, and it would kind of distribute some of those 40-year-olds with some of the younger talent, too, since... It's always good to have that veteran leadership in the ring, as they talk about. So it would make a lot of sense for them to be there.
Exactly.
Okie dokie.
Gotta go.
Yep, so. I am DeFrango11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, wherever the hell you want to listen to us, and help us out. Sue, have a good night.